Please be seated. And we're going to have our two Bible readings now. First of all, a reading from one of the Psalms, written hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus, but words of praise to God that are quoted on that first Palm Sunday.
The first reading is taken from Psalm 118, verses 1 to 2, and then 19 to 29. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvellous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'm going to read the account of that first Palm Sunday from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21 and verse 1. So if you want to use one of the Pew Bibles, or maybe you've got the Bible on your phone or something, you might like to look up Matthew 21, verse 1. In our Pew Bibles, it's on page 988. Matthew 21, page 988.
As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of them and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna, son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna to the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowd answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of the Lord.
David too for reading. So you might like to keep that passage open in front of you. We'll refer back to it in a moment. Now perhaps we could have the first slide up, please, Shirley. So who likes a good party? Do you like a party? No. Yeah? Well, not so sure. Some people do, some people don't. Yes. It's party season at the rectory at the moment, because it was Thomas's birthday not so long ago. Thursday, as well as being Maundy Thursday, Holy Communion here at 7:30, is an extremely exciting day, because it's my birthday! So, no need to come round to the rectory, just bring your gifts to the communion service, that'll be absolutely fine. Well, that first Palm Sunday, I think there was probably quite a party atmosphere. People were very excited, they were shouting, "Hooray! Hosanna!" celebrating Jesus. And I expect some people got rather carried away with it all. Now let's just have a look at the next slide. I wonder if anybody can guess what is going on here. Where and when might this have been from? Well, that's interesting. Jesse, why do you say that? Okay, right, yes. Yeah. It's not actually in this country. Do you have an idea about that? Yeah.
In Germany.
It's not in Germany. We're getting closer. Even closer. Russia, well done. Okay, Russia. It's not a specific event. It's like a whole long sort of... Here. What are they doing? Queuing for food. Okay, queuing. In fact, it could be queuing for anything. So, in the Soviet Union, in the 20th century, they loved a queue in Russia. Okay, the government tried to control the economy, and there were lots and lots of shortages. And there were all sorts of things you couldn't get. So there was lots and lots of queuing, great culture of queues, and jokes to be told in the queues and everything. But apparently, people would quite often join the queue, not even knowing what they were queuing for. They'd see a queue and they'd think, oh, well, maybe, hopefully, there's something good at the end of this queue. I'd better join it. I think something a bit like that went on the first Palm Sunday. Lots of people perhaps got involved in shouting, hooray for Jesus, celebrating him. But did they really know what was going on? Did they know how it would all end? Did they know who Jesus was and why he'd come? And in fact, we can tell that they didn't really know that, because at the end of our passage, I see these words that are on the screen. It says, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? That word stirred, it's the word from which we get the word seismic. You know what seismic is? If there's seismic activity, do you know what's happening? An earthquake, yes. So it's as if Jesus had sent an earthquake through the city. They were sort of shaken up. There were shockwaves. They thought, who is this? And that is a fantastic question to ask. Who is Jesus? The gospel writers often want us to ask, who is Jesus? Why did he come? What would it mean for me to respond to him? Who is Jesus? Wouldn't it be great if our villages were stirred up with that question, who is Jesus? And you can see there the crowd answered, well, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. What's a prophet, do you know? A messenger from God, someone who speaks for God. So this is a partly right answer, isn't it? Jesus was, of course, a prophet. He spoke from God. So they knew something about him. But there was a lot more to know about Jesus and to understand about who he was and why he'd come. So I want to just look a little bit in this passage with you today. We're going to think a little bit about who is Jesus, why did he come, and how we might respond to him. So let's have the next slide, please. And you can see there, if you look at verse 4, Matthew tells us that these things took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Zechariah in the Old Testament, again, hundreds of years earlier. Say to the daughter of Zion, that's Jerusalem, say to the people of Jerusalem, see, your king comes to you. So who is Jesus? He is the king. Well done, absolutely. And you remember they lay their cloaks before him, don't they? Now, in English history is a time where you get a bit of a laying of a cloak before a monarch. Sir Walter Raleigh, yes, before Queen Elizabeth. Yes, great act of gallantry. The puddle wasn't there, and he puts his cloak down as a walk through without getting wet and nothing. I think he end up getting beheaded, Walter Raleigh. That didn't end particularly well for him. Anyway, but so it's the kind of thing you might do for a king. And it's like that in the Bible, too. If you're ever in a Bible trivia quiz, this might come in handy. When Jehu is being made king in the Old Testament, in 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 13, they lay their cloaks before him. They're saying, we'd like you to be our king, rather than the wicked king we're getting rid of. Okay. So laying their cloaks before him is saying they want him to be their king. Jesus was a king. But perhaps they hadn't really understood what sort of king Jesus was, who he's going to be, because the verse goes on, doesn't it? see your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, surely, thank you. Now, donkeys were sometimes associated with kings in the Old Testament. A few instances of that. Great King Solomon rode on a donkey. But a donkey can seem a bit of a sort of silly, weak sort of animal, can't it? Your king comes to you gentle riding on a donkey. A donkey is an animal for peacetime, isn't it? So if it was war in Old Testament times, if Jesus was going to ride into battle, what sort of animal might he have come on? Not on a donkey, but on a horse, a war horse. Yes, a charger or something. Great feisty stallion. But Jesus doesn't do that. He doesn't come in an armoured personnel carrier or a tank or anything like that, but on a donkey. He comes as a gentle king, a king who's going to bring peace. Maybe there were some people there who wanted Jesus to boot out the Romans who were occupying the land at that time, thought Jesus would save them from their Roman occupation. But Jesus hasn't come to start a war against the Romans. He's come to bring peace. Peace with God. Jesus has come, actually, to set us free from our sins. That's what Jesus is going to do. And that's reflected in the thing that they shout. Again, they might not have understood this, but have the next one. Surely, maybe they thought they were just shouting, "Hooray! Praise!" But remember, Hosanna means save. So Jesus is going to be the saviour. He's going to save their people from sin. And what's all that on about? Hosanna to the Son of David. So Jesus' dad was actually called Joseph. So it doesn't mean that literally the son of David, does it? It means that the descendant of David. David was his great-great-great, for how many greats it was, grandfather. So what does it mean by calling Jesus the Son of David? Must get him syringed. Yes, certainly of the line of David, yes, absolutely. But why is that important? Why does that matter? David was a king, yes. So Jesus, sorry? It was prophesied, okay. So it's prophesied that there'd be this king in the line of David, and in particular, he was going to be the long-awaited, promised Messiah. Well done, absolutely. Yes. The more compliant and cooperative you are, the sooner we can have lunch. Absolutely. So Jesus was the Son of David, the great long-promised Messiah whom had been predicted, the one who would come and set them free from their sins, put them right with God, bring in God's kingdom. So all these hopes and expectations are going to be fulfilled in Jesus, sometimes in surprising ways, sometimes that the people didn't really understand. And I want to, just before we finish, refer, next thing please, back to that psalm, to some words that also get quoted in the New Testament. It says this: "The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvellous in our eyes." So it's possible to not recognise who Jesus was. The builders, most of the Jewish leaders of Jesus' time, the authorities, they rejected Jesus, didn't they? They didn't think he was important. He was the stone the builders rejected. Jesus died on the cross. But the Bible says Jesus is going to become the capstone, or the cornerstone, it might be. So, if anyone's into engineering, do tell me about this after coffee. I'm slightly hazy about what exactly a capstone is. But perhaps it's that, I think if you take that away, the arch might collapse. Do you ever go to, like, the science museum? You can do this sort of thing, can't you, where you, like, make this arch bridge thing. And if you take out this one crucial thing, the whole thing collapses. Well, they're saying Jesus is a stone the builders rejected. They didn't think he was important or special. They just wanted to get rid of him and shut him up and silence him. But Jesus was, in fact, the capstone, or you might say the chief cornerstone, the most important stone in the whole building, the one on whom it all converges, to holds it all together. So it's a reminder to us to, let's have the next one, to think about this great question: who is Jesus? Why did he come? What does it mean to respond to him? We don't want to forget or overlook who Jesus is. maybe this Easter, we want to think again about who he is, what he's come to do, and what it might mean to respond to him. He's the king, but a gentle king who comes to bring peace. He's the long-promised Messiah, the rescuer, the saviour king who would bring us peace with God and forgive our sins. So it'd be good for us to reflect today about how we're going to respond to him. In our passage, the disciples do what Jesus told them to do. They respond with faith and obedience. They seek to live according to Jesus' word. Do you remember he wants that donkey for this special entrance into Jerusalem that he's stage managing to say something about who he is? And he borrows the donkey, and the disciples have to go and say to the owner of the donkey, "The Lord needs it." I wonder how it would be if Jesus were to say to us about our time or energy or money, "The Lord needs it." Are we willing to treat Jesus as our Lord? Are we and what we have at Jesus' disposal? That would be a fitting response to King Jesus, wouldn't it? Let's just, for a moment, perhaps look at that slide, think about these things, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Father God, we thank you for King Jesus. Help us this Easter to reflect on who he was, what he came to do, and how we should respond to him. Thank you for his gentleness, for his peace, for the forgiveness of sins, for the wonderful way in which he fulfills all your promises. We pray that our villages might be stirred with that great question of who Jesus is. Help us to respond to him with obedience and faith, to put ourselves, our time and energy, and all that we have at Jesus' disposal for his great name's sake. Amen.